September 11th, 2001, 10 years ago, was on a Tuesday. And it was a day, a morning, much like this morning. Pretty day. People got up, went about their everyday business. Most of, if not all of us, perhaps some of the teenagers can't remember where they were 10 years ago, but most of us that are adults remember pretty precisely where we were 10 years ago. I had gotten up, I was still working 10 years ago, I'd gotten up early and had caught a flight from Flint to Chicago on my way to Reno for a Key 4 meeting with the UAW. And we were sitting on the runway in Chicago ready to take off when word started to come over the telephones and the pilot made an announcement. And of course, you remember at first when the first tower of the World Trade Center was hit in New York City, they thought it was a small plane that by accident crashed into that building. But then you recall those of you that got to watch it and those of us that didn't get to watch it saw it many, many times replayed on the television, where about 20 minutes or so later, the second plane crashed into the second tower, and we knew that it was not an accident. We knew it was an act of terrorism on our country. Following what followed that day was an attack on the Pentagon, and then a fourth plane that had been hijacked and was brought down by the passengers. Speculation was that was headed toward the Capitol in Washington, D.C. I was fortunate because on that plane with me in Chicago was a guy that worked at our Chicago warehouse. Because when I got off the plane, and we were one of the last planes to be deplaned that day in Chicago at O'Hare, the airport was basically deserted. There was no rental cars left. And I'm sure all the hotels were filled up at that point as well. But he had driven to the airport from the warehouse and so had his car there. And so he took me back to the warehouse and they loaned me a pool car and I was able to drive back home that day. Adam and Chantel were still in school in Indiana on the way back from Chicago. And I called them and see if they wanted to go out for an ice cream and pick them up and stopped and of course, we talked about what was going on and prayed together. That was on a Tuesday. On Wednesday night, we still had prayer meeting. We had 44 that night, September the 12th. We had 44 at prayer meeting. And during that service, that prayer meeting service, after we got through praying for our country and for our leaders, I shared some thoughts, some things that God had laid on my heart the last 2 days about what we needed to learn from that attack that was made on our country the day before. I pulled out my outline a couple of weeks ago to ask myself, did I remember? And I go back to that outline this morning. I've changed it a little bit. So if you were one of the 44 people that were here 10 years ago and you have a good memory, it'll be a little bit different than it was 10 years ago. But there were some things that I asked myself and I asked the 44 people that were here on that prayer meeting after 9/11. And I'll ask you this morning lessons that we should have learned. Did we learn, and do we still remember them? I have three that I want to mention this morning. The first one is that God still allows things to happen that we don't understand. I took our scripture reading from the book of Job this morning because I think Job was a man that could say that same thing. There were things happened in Job's life that he didn't understand. He was a man that loved God, that feared God, that hated evil. That was a testimony that God himself gave about this man, Job. And yet, heartache and tragedy came into Job's life. He lost all his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his health. His wife told him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And I'm sure Job could have asked, "Why, God, would you allow these things to come into my life? Why would you allow my children to be killed? Why have you taken my health? I've tried to serve you. I've tried to do what you wanted me to do. Why would you let all of this come into my life? 10 years ago, many people asked the same question. Why, God, would you allow this to happen to our nation? Why would you allow 2,977 innocent people to be killed by these acts of terrorism? Why would you allow that to happen? You're a loving God. You're a good God. And you control everything. And we know that you had to allow this to happen. And even today, we sometimes ask God the same question. When things come into our life that we don't understand, when things come into our life that we can't put together, when we walk into a doctor's office and the doctor says, oh, yes, the tests have come back and it is cancer, or the tests have come back and there is a problem with one of your vital organs and we don't know if we can fix it or not. We still want to go to God and say, God, why would you allow that to happen in people's lives that are good, that are trying to serve you, that love you? Why would you allow that to happen? We ask that question sometimes when relationships break, when husbands and wives break apart, or when children get rebellious and want to move away from home. And we know that God has allowed that to happen. And we want to go to Him and we want to ask the question, why, God? Why would you allow something like this to happen to good people? Why, the people that are trying to serve you, people that are trying to love you, why would you allow these things to happen? We know that you're God and you could have stopped them if you wanted to stop them, but why would you allow them to happen? When young parents lose little babies or lose little children, some before they're born, some right after they're born, we want to go to God. We want to ask the same question. Why, God, would you allow this to happen? Why, a good, loving God, why would you allow something like this to happen in the lives of people that love you, that are trying to serve you, that are trying to do their best to be a good Christian? And it still happens. Where we want to go and we want to ask God why. We don't understand. We can't figure it out. It doesn't fit together in the way that we put things together. And we want to know, why, God, would you allow this to happen? And I reminded folks 10 years ago, as I remind you this morning, that God is still a sovereign God. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 6, the Bible says, hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigns on this earth. And what happened 10 years ago today, and what happens in our lives, even though we cannot figure them out, even though we cannot put it together in our understanding, God still reigns. He still rules, and He still has a plan for everything that He allows to happen on the face of this earth, and everything that He allows to happen in our lives. He has a plan. You see, there are no surprises with God. He was not surprised 10 years ago like we were when those planes crashed into the building, the Trade Center or the Pentagon, or that plane crashed into that field in Pennsylvania. He was not surprised. That was part of God's plan. You say, preacher, how can something like that be part of God's plan? I can't explain that to you any more than I can explain losing a little baby. But I know that God has a plan for each of our lives as individuals. And He lets things come into our life for a reason. I've often read the Bible. And I think about things. I try to put myself in the place of people that were in the stories in the Bible. I read about the flood in the book of Genesis, and I think about all the innocent children that lived on the face of the earth when the flood came. Little babies, little children that were destroyed in that flood. and say, God, why would you allow that to happen? I read the stories in the Old Testament where God sent his people against an enemy, and he said, go into this city and wipe every single thing out. Don't let anything live. Kill everything. And I think about the little children that lived in that city. And I want to ask the question, why, God, would you allow something like that to happen? God's never explained it to me. But he said, and I'm so glad that Bob and Bob Virginia sang that last song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I can't explain the way God works, but I can trust him that he works his will. And everything that he does is good. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31, the Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. You know something I realized a long, long time ago? Is that God doesn't owe me an explanation for why he does what he does. I used to think when I would get I look forward to going to heaven, because when I get to heaven, I could sit down with God and God would explain to me why he did everything that he did. But you know what? I figured out when I get to heaven, it won't make any difference. It won't make any difference. What we need to learn from 9/11 is that God still lets things happen in our lives that we cannot understand, that we cannot put together, but we need to trust him. We need to trust him. He's still a sovereign God. He's still a God that rules and reigns, and he does today as he has throughout all time. The second thing I will remind you of this morning is that life can change in a second. Life can change in a second. You know, we get established in our routine of life. We get up every morning and we do about the same thing. And it happens day after day and week after week. And I know there's sometimes, you know, we go on vacation and our schedule changes. And in the summer, the schedule changes when the kids get out of school. But for the most part, we live our life as creatures of habit. We do the same things day after day after day after day. We find comfort in that. It gives us a sense of stability. We look forward to the familiar. And if we're not careful, we begin to take for granted that everything that has been will continue to be. That our pattern of life will not change, that it will go on day after day after day after day. I will remind you this morning, one of the things we learned from 9/11 is that can change in a second. In a second. In a second. I would submit to you this morning that 10 years ago, life changed for all of us. We were not the same after what happened 10 years ago. And that's the way life is. It can change. Think about Job. I mean, you read the first chapter of Job. I think he was a man that was caught up in the routine of life every day. I mean, we read about it. It says when his kids got together, the 10 of them, he would go and offer a sacrifice to God every time they got together, just in case one of them did something wrong. Job wanted to pay the price with a sacrifice for his kids. And just think, in a second, how his life changed. One servant came and said, oh, this group of animals, fire came from heaven and burned them up, and I'm the only one left. Another one came and said, hey, some thieves came and stole the rest of these animals. And then that servant came and said, hey, your kids were together, and the wind blew, and the house blew down, and they're all dead. And in a second, his life changed. And again, we get comfortable. We get comfortable in our routine of life. We get comfortable with what we have. And we think it's always going to be as it's always been. We say to people, well, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to do this tomorrow. And some of us have learned to say, we're going to do this tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you tonight. If it's the Lord's will. If it's the Lord's will. You see, 9/11 ought to remind us that everything that we have, our routine of life, is dependent on God. Is dependent on God. You see, sometimes we look at what we have and we say, well, I don't have to worry because I've got it made. I've got money in the bank and my house is almost paid for and the car is paid for and I don't owe anybody any money and I can just relax. And I want to remind you today, I want to remind you from the lessons of 9/11 that life can change in a second. It can change in a second. And everything that we have that we depend on can be taken away in a second. I'm so glad that Brother Gary sang that song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. For the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." I'll remind you this morning, all the things of this earth are going to pass away one day. They're going to be no more. And in all probability, for many of us, before that happens, we're going to die and we're going to leave them all to somebody anyway. It's going to be gone. The only thing that's unchangeable, the only thing that is constant for all eternity is our God and our Savior. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." One of the things that we need to realize that everything that we have comes from God. And so Job says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that they played the offertory they played this morning. Let's just praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what God allows to come into our life, even though we can't understand it, and even though we can't explain it, we just need to praise Him. We need to praise Him because He's God. He rules. He has a plan. And then number three. The most important lesson that I think we can learn from 9/11 is that life can end at any time. There were 2,977 people that lost their life on this day 10 years ago. I dare say none of them got up that morning 10 years ago, September the 11th, 2001. I dare say that not one of them got up that morning and said, "I'm going to die today." There were probably very few that said, "I may die today." There are probably very few of us here this morning. I did because I knew what I was preaching, but there are probably very few of us here this morning that got up this morning, September the 11th, 2011, and thought, "I may die today." David said, "There's just a step between me and death." He described life as a shadow. And every single person here this morning needs to realize that our life could end at any moment. Probably won't be because a plane will be crashing into this building. It probably won't be because a tower collapses on itself. But every single one of us need to realize that death could come at any time. And we need to be ready. There were some on September the 11th that had no time to prepare. Maybe some on the planes did, as they realized what was happening before they crashed into the buildings. And those that in Pennsylvania before they took over the plane and it crashed into the ground. Maybe there was some time to prepare. I know some of them had time to make phone calls and say goodbye to different people. But there were others that had absolutely no time at all to prepare. When the plane crashed into the building and exploded, those that were on those floors had no time to prepare. When the building came crashing down, there were probably others on lower floor that thought they were going to get out and didn't have time to prepare. When our time comes to die, however it is, I can't guarantee you that you are going to have time to prepare. That's why it's so important that you need to get ready now. You say, preacher, what do you mean get ready? I mean, you need to make sure you know where you're going when you die. You need to make sure that you understand that there's a heaven and a hell. And you need to make sure that you're on your way to heaven. And the Bible says there's only one way we get to heaven, and that's to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not by being good. It's not by joining a church. It's not by doing anything else. It's by coming to Jesus Christ and saying, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty of sin, which is death, separation from you. And I believe what you did on Calvary, when you died on the cross, you paid for my sins. And I'm coming to you now, claiming that, asking you to save me. That's how you get ready to die. You make peace with God. And peace with God only comes through Jesus Christ. It doesn't come any other way. Now I pray everybody in this room this morning has a good, long, wonderful life. I pray that we won't have to have any funerals in this church for decades. For decades. That's my prayer. But death could happen at any time to any one of us. There's some teenagers in the room. There's some young people in the room. You know, when you get 60 or older, you realize that, you know, the better part of your life is in the past. You have some good years. If the Lord gives you the 70, you know, you got 70. If he gives you 80, like the Bible says in Psalms, you got 20 more. But none of us know when our life is going to end. And none of us know when that time comes if we're going to have time to make peace with God. That's why it's important that you make peace with God now. So if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have never asked him to save you, I can't think of a better day than 9/11. To raise your hand to a loving God and say, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, please save me. And if you'll do that this morning, he'll save you. He'll save you. But something else, and then I'm done. One more thing, and then I'm done. Not only do we not know when we're going to die, we don't know when others are going to die. You don't know when your spouse is going to die. You don't know when your parents are going to die. You don't know when your children are going to die. You don't know when your grandparents are going to die. You don't know when your grandchildren are going to die. None of us know that. None of us know that. I think we need to be reminded on this day that we better not leave things unsaid that need to be said. We better not leave relationships that are broken, broken, if there's anything that we can do to fix them. We better not leave our love unexpressed, because there may come a time when we stand beside that casket and we say, like I've heard so many times as I've stood beside him, oh, I wish I would have told mom or dad or grandpa, grandma, how much I loved them. I wish I would have apologized for that unkindness that I did that we never got right. I wish I would have forgiven and asked for forgiveness. We need to be reminded today that if there's things like that in our life, we need to take care of them. Because none of us have no idea if we're going to have tomorrow or the next day to take care of them. The only time we've got is now. And so if there's somebody that you need to tell them that you love them, you haven't told them for a long time, why don't you tell them today? If there's something between you and somebody else, and you know that, and it doesn't matter, say, well, preacher, you don't know, it wasn't my fault. And I'll tell you, like I've told you many, many times, when one of you dies, it ain't going to make any difference whose fault it is. It ain't going to make any difference. So regardless of whose fault it is, if you can make it right, make it right. Make it right. Make it right today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the next day. You may not have it. You may not have it. Today's the only day that we have. The tragedy that happened 10 years ago changed us, every one of us. But the further we get away from it, if we don't force ourselves to go back and remember the lessons, we'll get caught up in the today and we'll forget. And we'll forget. There are a lot of people that think part of the reason for 9/11 was that God was bringing punishment to America. And I know there are things happening in this country today that doesn't please our God. And I think about that verse in Psalm 33, verse 12, where the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And there's not a thing in our country that we as Christians couldn't get, that we as Christians couldn't fix, if we'll do the verse that the verse that Bill quoted from 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their sin, seek God's face and pray," he said, "then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." We need that today. We need it. I'm done. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, I beg you, please don't walk out those doors without doing it. I don't care if this is your first time here, if you've been here 100 times, don't walk out that door without asking Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for memories. Help us to learn from the past. Help us to learn from those things that have happened before. And I pray, Father, I pray so much. If there's just one person here that's never asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior, I pray today, help them to see today that they're a sinner. That sin has a price, and that price is separation from you forever and ever and ever. And the only one that can make the difference is Jesus Christ. And I pray you'll help them today, right where they sit, right now. Help them to pray and say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please save me. Please save me." And Father, if they pray that prayer in just a second, as we stand and have an invitation song, I pray you'll help them come forward and share with the rest of us the decision they've made to receive Christ as their Savior. If there's Christians that are here that you've laid something else on their heart this morning, maybe something they need to fix between them and another person, maybe something they need to say, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them and they would do what you've laid on their heart, and they'd do it today. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.